This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hey, what's up, everybody? You got me, J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Oh boy, a lot going on with me. I am just about to finish up a pretty big film project that I'm working on. Did sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't say too much about it. I also had a very promising meeting with a streaming service about possibly joining forces and having a pretty good working relationship. So I am very, very excited. I have the irons in my personal fire. And I do believe that sooner rather than later, you will be able to see J. Lewis Mills in his element, doing what he loves to do, instead of just hearing J. Lewis in his element, doing what he loves to do. Let's get to tonight's show. It is a pretty interesting one, I believe. And we might have a follow-up next week. I'll just put that out there now. I've got an email out to somebody. If they're able to get back to me and we're able to sync up our schedules, I think we're going to have a very, very interesting guest next week that's going to kind of reiterate a lot of what I'm going to say, or we're at least going to have this conversation again next week. But I just want to get my points out first, and then next week, if the show happens like I think it's going to, there's several that I will revisit, and I will ask if I was right or if I was wrong. Pretty sure I'm going to be told I was fucking right. Just saying. Okay, so, how do I want to start this? Let me start it like this. We have a president of the United States whose former attorney, former fixer, former real, real close confidant just signed a plea deal because of campaign misconduct. And I think a total of 8 counts is what he signed his plea deal for. Also, the former campaign manager, I believe is what Paul Manafort was, from I think it was July to August 2016, he was also indicted on. Now, okay, so maybe his situations happened quite a while ago, but we have reached a total of 5 former, let's just say, employees of the Donald Trump administration that have been found guilty of something or another. That's a problem. I think that's a problem because if the people that you are working under, or excuse me, if the people that are working under you get caught up in legal trouble, what's that to say about you? What's that to say about, especially, okay, so 2 of the situations that for, I think it's campaign misconduct is what it's called. There were 2 women that were paid, kind of sort of like hush money, to keep affairs out of the news during the 2016 election that President Trump had. One was a one-night stand. One was took place over a complete year. So, how is it possible that the attorney can get in trouble for it, but the candidate hasn't gotten in trouble for it? Basically, what I'm trying to say is the president of the United States, as it stands right now, is an unindicted co-conspirator. It's been proven. He was asked if he knew about the payment to Stormy Daniels. He was specifically asked if he knew about the $130,000 payment that was made to Stormy Daniels. And he said no. You all, my listeners, some listeners might not think this is a big deal, but he was standing on Air Force One. He was standing inside of Air Force One when he said that, when he said he did not know. And then a couple of months later, it comes out he did know. So my first question is, just with everybody knowing that that is actually a real thing, how is it possible that this president is still currently in office? How is it possible that two of the closest people to you can get in trouble? Both are going to serve jail time. Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, they are both going to serve jail time. I don't know completely about Paul Manafort, but I do know that Michael Cohen is also going to lose millions of dollars. But how can you say you don't know about a payment when your attorney is turning in fake invoices to get reimbursed for the $130,000 that was used? How is that even a real thing? How is it possible that these two men can give up their lives and, I mean, basically give up their lives? Neither one of these two men can go back and do what they were doing before, as a profession, before they met Donald Trump. Now, I will be fair. The things that they did, they made their own choices. I doubt very seriously that Donald Trump was twisting anybody's arm or had a gun to anyone's head. So I do believe that has to be mentioned. I don't necessarily think, because if, you know what, I know that didn't happen. Because if it would have happened, that would have come out long ago. Well, I did this under duress. That's what would have been said by either Mr. Manafort or by Mr. Cohen. Neither one of them said that, so I know that's not a real thing. I absolutely know that's not a real thing. But with everything that has come out, 35% of this country still thinks Donald Trump is doing a good job. Still thinks we are on the upswing instead of the downswing. I told somebody I was going to try my best to not curse as much during my show. But there are just certain specific times where I have no choice. And unfortunately, this is one of them. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? 35% of this country thinks President Donald Trump is doing a good job. How is that even possible? How is that even, I'm just going to say it again, how is that even a thing? What news are you watching? What court cases are you following? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You're not following any court cases. You're just listening to Sean Hannity and the other buffoons that are on Fox News. That's what it is. Okay, now I remember. Now I remember why 35% of this country thinks that this fool that's in president, that is in office, is doing a good job. Now, hey, if I'm going to call these 35% a fool, let me go right ahead. I was just as big a fool. I am saying right here on this show, and I will get into it later, but I was wrong. I was wrong about Donald Trump. I was wrong about him. I have no problem saying I was wrong about him. I admit that I was wrong about him. And like I said, later on in the show, we will get into exactly what it is I'm talking about. But right now, two of your closest people have one signed a plea and one signed a plea and the other was found guilty. Paul Manafort was found guilty 8 out of 18 felony charges. Not reporting an out-of-country bank account, income tax evasion. It's okay, so maybe that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the election of 2016, but that has everything to do with saying who you let in your circle. If you follow my social media, people, you can go back to my Facebook page, or excuse me, my Instagram page. I put on there, I don't even think it was more than a week ago, be careful who you let in your fucking house. I mean that literally, and I mean that figuratively. Be careful of who you let in your house. So, Donald Trump let somebody in that, I don't know if all of these situations took place before he before Paul Manafort even met Donald Trump. But Donald Trump let someone in his inner circle. I mean, why would he not? Just look at Donald Trump. Why would he say, oh, well, no, I can't bring this guy in. He's too dishonest. It's not even possible for that to be a conversation. But the fact of the matter is, 35% of this country thinks that everything that has come out about this man, it doesn't matter. Two men's lives, as I said, have been completely changed because of dealings with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I honestly believe, now, I believe Donald Trump is going to pardon Paul Manafort on the federal charges. But a sitting president of the United States cannot pardon a person for any state crimes. So because Michael Cohen lives in New York, because Paul Manafort lives in New York, they may well. Well, I don't really think Michael Cohen is going to get a pardon from the president. But even if Paul Manafort gets a pardon from the president, that's just federal. He's still going to have to do state time. Now, me personally, I have never spent any time in a federal prison. I have never spent any time in a state prison. However, I do know people that have spent time in a federal prison. I do know people that have spent time in a state prison. The stories of the conditions of the federal prisons are a 180 degree difference than the state prisons. From what my understanding of most federal prisons, where someone like a Paul Manafort or where someone like a Michael Cohen would possibly go to serve their federal sentence, I have been told that those places are no more than country clubs. The food is better, the conditions are better, the I'm even I can't even believe that I'm saying this, but this is what I've been told. The amenities that are in a federal prison are a far cry better than what a state prisoner has to look forward to. Why? Because you actually were educated, because you came from Wall Street, because you have a bunch of money. What is the big, why is it a thing where federal prisons, I should probably do a show on this. Why is it a thing that federal prisons are considered by some like country clubs and state prisons are considered by some to be like gladiator school or criminal school 101? Because I was told, and I'm pretty sure you can do this in a federal prison, but I was told you go into a state prison with some type of a petty sentence. When I say petty, I mean maybe a year, 2 years in a state prison. If all you know how to do is boost cars, by the time you come out of a state prison, you're going to know how to cook drugs. You're going to know how to do so many other things because you are taught that there. Now, I am a firm believer, and I've been a firm believer for a long time. The jail system, the prison system was designed for punishment and rehabilitation. Going to a country club, that's not punishment. Being in a state prison, learning how to do more heinous crimes than you're actually in the fucking prison for in the first place, that's not rehabilitation. So our whole system is, I'll just say FUBAR. You all know what FUBAR means. But for those that don't, it means fucked up beyond all recognition. That's our prison system. But I digress. So again, we have a president that is at this time an un he hasn't been charged with any crimes yet. I don't want to keep, but I mean, he is a co-conspirator though. So I mean, that is a real thing. So yes, he is an unindicted co-conspirator. That's the president of the United States. The most powerful job in the free world is being held by a co-conspirator of breaking the law, of knowingly breaking the law. That's my biggest problem, knowingly breaking the law. It's not like Donald Trump can say, "Oh, whoops, I ain't know I did that." But just to kind of clarify everything that I'm saying, I want you all to listen to a clip. This is a clip that I have that I found that will basically sum up everything that I just said. Doug, can you go ahead and play that clip, please?
Two explosive stories that we're tracking on this historic night. One directly implicating President Trump himself in criminal wrongdoing. Today, the jury in the Manafort trial delivered 8 guilty counts and deadlocked on the other 10. But it's the Michael Cohen case that's shaking the political and legal worlds tonight. Trump's longtime personal lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, pleading guilty to 8 counts, including 2 criminal campaign finance violations he said occurred, quote, at the direction of the candidate, end quote. Cohen did not name the candidate in court, but the meaning appears clear. Cohen detailing a payment of $150,000 to a woman whose silence he wanted to secure. Those details match what's publicly reported about a payoff to Karen McDougal. Cohen saying it was done, quote, for the principal purpose of influencing the election. Cohen also pleading guilty to making an excessive campaign contribution. That's related to the payment of $130,000 made to a woman in October of 2016, just weeks before the election, at the direction of the same candidate. Those details match what we know about the Stormy Daniels payment. Moments ago, here's the prosecutor.
He worked to pay money to silence two women who had information that he believed would be detrimental to the 2016 campaign and to the candidate and the campaign. In addition, Mr. Cohen sought reimbursement for that money by submitting invoices to the candidate's company, which were untrue and false.
The bombshell news raising all sorts of questions, chief among them, what liability does the president now have? Amid all of this, the Paul Manafort news. Trump's former campaign chair found guilty today on 8 counts, 5 counts of tax fraud, 1 count of failing to file a foreign bank account, and 2 counts of bank fraud. The judge declaring a mistrial on 10 other counts after the jury failed to reach consensus. Trump landing moments ago in West Virginia for a political event said this. No comments at all about his old friend Michael Cohen. The bottom line tonight, the list of Trump associates found or pleading guilty grew. The danger for him has increased exponentially, and the scandal is now right at the doorstep of the White House. Joining me now from outside the courthouse is NBC News' Tom Winter, who first broke the story of Cohen's talks of a plea deal, former Watergate prosecutor Nick Ackerman, former FBI special agent Clint Watts, and the New York Times' Megan Toohey. Thanks to all of you for being here. Tom, let's start with you. I have something you may not have even had a chance to get your hands on yet. I think you said it to me, but I don't know if you've read through it. It's the information that details everything that he said, everything that Michael Cohen has told them he knows. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, we had a full allocution from Michael Cohen. The proceedings took place nearly an hour and a half. Michael Cohen appeared to be anxious to speak. Once he got up, he told the judge that he wrote down some notes. He said that he was going to tell the judge exactly what he did. And he went through the counts. The first 5 counts are fairly simple because they just involve tax evasion. But they're fairly significant amounts of tax evasion to the tune of north of $4 million, according to Deputy U.S. Attorney Robert Kuzami. And then from there, he detailed an effort to get a home equity loan, a HELOC loan that he did not was not forthright with the bank as far as detailing the liabilities that he had, basically the expenses that he had, what he owed other people. And then he got to the charges that are obviously ricocheting across the political universe tonight, which are the ones that appear to involve the president of the United States, and that he was directed to make payments and coordination with the candidate and with the campaign of President Donald Trump to two women. One involved a payment to a woman for $150,000. It's believed to be Karen McDougal. The second to a payment believed to be Stormy Daniels in October of 2016, for $130,000. And for that payment, Michael Cohen told the court that he received restitution for that payment, or he received the money back for that payment from the candidate who believed to be President Donald Trump. So throughout this investigation, this particular investigation, which stemmed from the special counsel's office from Robert Mueller, has been done in coordination with that office, been prosecuted by career and seasoned public corruption investigators here in New York, both on the FBI side as well as with the United States Attorney's Office. Today they brought home a significant criminal information that Michael Cohen has pled guilty to, 8 counts in total. He faces several years in jail at a minimum, Allie. He could face north of of 6 years in jail is part of his agreement. So this was not a slap on the wrist by any means. What he was able to coordinate and what he was able to agree to with the help of his attorneys, with prosecutors here. And I think right now this is an investigation that has taken itself right into the president's campaign directly. Yep. And into actions that may have occurred once the president was elected. So we've got a lot of information and a lot of things to develop over the coming and read that criminal information
it's
that
remarkable.
You were referring
I've been,
to.
I've been going
it's
through
really
it.
Voluminous.
And you're the detail-oriented
right.
guy, so you're going to get more out of it
moments ago.
Than I am. But I'm just reading now count seven. Seven and eight are the ones that refer to Karen McDougal and Stormy.
Wow. First of all, 200, a total, $280,000 was paid to two different women. $150,000 to Ms. McDougal, $130,000 to Ms. Daniels. Let me just first say this. I sure hope both of those... I can't say that. I hope the sex was good. I'll say that. $150,000, $130,000. I hope the sex was good. I don't think there's ever going. Can't say that either. So yeah. Paul Manafort was actually the campaign chair, so I misspoke. He was not the campaign manager. However. You cannot tell me that Michael Cohen, Donald Trump, and Paul Manafort did not know about these payments. You cannot tell me that just alone Donald Trump did not know about these payments. And if you're going to try and tell me, well, no, he didn't know about it, and I'm not going to play it for you, but we've all heard the taped conversation between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump. Do you all really believe that I have actually had people say to me that Michael Cohen, that wasn't really Donald Trump, that was a Donald Trump lookalike? I'm thinking of a specific conversation that I had where someone tried telling me that that wasn't really Donald Trump's voice. If you really listen to it, that Michael Cohen just got a Donald Trump lookalike. And I tried to just let it go. I tried to just let this person talk. But it was burning inside of me, so I just had to ask, what the fuck does a look-alike have to do with an audio recording? It was somebody who sounds just like Donald Trump. Really? Where is this person now? The book deal. The money that they could sell their story for. Where are they now? So I don't know if this person thought it was just the black skin, if it was the eye patch or a combination of both. But this motherfucker thought I was stupid as shit. That was a lookalike. What the fuck are you talking about, man? At what point are American citizens going to stop making excuses? Listen, if you have to make excuses for somebody, shit's wrong. If somebody comes to you and says something and you, well, this is what he meant. Oh, well, this is what he said. Oh, well, I'm sure he meant this. What the fuck you mean you're sure he meant this? Never once in life have you had one conversation with this man and you're trying to tell me what somebody else meant. The fuck part of the game is that? Okay, so I probably didn't need to put that fuck in there, but still, what part of the game is that? At what point are people just going to say, look, I was wrong. Shit, I did it. I was wrong. You best believe I'm not going to be wrong again. Not about Donald Trump, at least. So, I have said this more than once, people. We have to do better. We have to do a lot better. And the people we co-sign, the people we endorse, the people we stand up for, the people we fight for, the people we vouch for. Because I can damn near guarantee you this 35% that thinks we are doing or that thinks Donald Trump is doing such a great job, I can almost guarantee you 34.999999% of those people have never even shook the man's hand, have never even had a conversation with him. And it's not because, I mean, it is because they just haven't been in the same places as he was. But if he were to be in the same place, do you really think Donald Trump is just going to have a conversation with a regular, everyday individual? No. But this is kind of segueing into how I was wrong about Donald Trump. So for the longest time, I was telling people, you know, Donald Trump is not racist. I came out on my show and I said, Donald Trump is not racist. He is a financial elitist. Now, the reason why I did not think Donald Trump was racist, but that he was actually, in actuality, a financial elitist, is because I really honestly believe you have to have a certain amount of money. You have to have a certain amount of power. You have to have a certain amount of clout in order for Donald Trump to even consider you a person. But he's still going to think he's better than you. So it helped formulate my opinion right after, and I have said this on this show more than once. I've gone back to this example more than once. When Donald Trump was on his, basically what you want to call a thank you tour, going around the country, thanking his constituents for electing him, nominating him, and then electing him, he was, I don't remember where he was, but he was somewhere. And he was talking about that whole drain the swamp. And I'm not going to repeat what he said word for word. I am going to paraphrase. But he said something to the effect of drain the swamp. You know, I thought that was so hokey. And I was like, no, there's no way I'm going to say that. And then I said it, drain the swamp. And they bought it. And then I said it again, drain the swamp. And they bought it. So I was just standing back like, oh, my God. So I kept saying it, drain the swamp, drain the swamp. And now I am your president. Now, again, that was just paraphrasing. But the same people that he was talking about are the people that are sitting in that arena, wherever they were, listening to what he had to say. That's who he was talking about. So he's looking these people dead in the face and he's saying, look, I thought the shit was hokey, but y'all motherfuckers bought right into it. So, of course, I'm gonna keep saying it. I mean, when you can actually be somebody And this is just the brass tacks of the situation. When you can be somebody that can question a whole arena's intelligence and nobody fucking gets it, that's the 35% that thinks Donald Trump is doing such a good job. The same ones who Donald Trump can insult right to their fucking faces, and they're just sitting there like, well, he ain't talking about me. Yes, the fuck he is. Yes, he is talking about you. So, for the longest time, I said he was a financial elitist. And then I come across what I consider enough evidence for me to look in the mirror and say, J. Lewis, you were wrong, Daddy-O. That fucking guy is a racist. Now, this is what I heard.
Trump Plaza, black guys counting my money, I hate it. The only kind of people I want counting my money are short guys that wear yarmulkes every day. I think the guy is lazy. And it's probably not his fault because laziness is a trait in blacks. It really is. I believe that. It's not anything they can control. I mean, just let that sink into everybody for a moment, Jack. And then let me ask you a very just important question, I think. Did you write this down right after? I mean, was that off a tape? I mean, are you, you put it in quotes. Is that truly in quotes? That's what he said?
Yeah.
I've got black accountants at Trump Castle and at Trump Plaza. Black guys counting my money. I hate it. The only kind of people I want counting my money are short guys that wear yarmulkes every day. I think the guy is lazy. And it's probably not his fault because laziness is a trait in blacks. It really is. I believe that. It's not anything they can control.
What the fuck was that? This fucking country was built on the fucking backs of black people. And you want to fucking say black people, it's bred in us to be fucking lazy? You would rather have a short guy with a yarmulke counting your money. So not only is that a slam on black people, but that's a slam on the Jewish community as well. Now, the reporter Jack O'Donnell, author Jack O'Donnell, was doing an interview with Donald Trump, and that was a part of it. You know, if you were listening when it was over, or when the journalist was finished reading it, she asked him, she said, you know, did you write this down right after he said it? And I'm sure she was asking that question just to kind of, okay, so is it possible that there was time that went by and you kind of forgot what he said? No, she covered that base. She covered that base good. She said, this is a question I really think you need to, I need to ask. And he was like, yeah, he said it. He said it right then. Now, I wasn't so happy with how he said yes. I just have to be honest about that. I wasn't so happy with, because he was kind of timid. He was like, yeah, yeah. But after watching it more than once, I kind of think he was timid in that way, just because of the gravity of what was said. He was like, yeah, he said, I didn't make that shit up. Yeah, he said it. So that did bother me at first. But again, as I said, after I listened to it more than once, that's the thought pattern that basically came into my head. So if somebody were to ask me, Can you characterize the current sitting president of the United States of America? Would I be really wrong if I said the president of the United States is an unindicted conspirator in campaign fraud and a racist and a misogynist? Would that be wrong? Like, would that be wrong? Would it be like I was talking shit? Or would it be like I'm telling the truth? And that's the problem. If I were to say our sitting president is an unindicted co-conspirator and campaign fraud, as well as a racist and a misogynist, there isn't a fucking person on this planet that can say, shame on you for speaking so bad about the president of the United States. No, motherfucker. Fuck you and everybody else that's telling me, shame on me for talking truth about the president of the United States. That's how I feel. But, and this is where the controversy comes in, Donald Trump isn't the only racist out there. Donald Trump isn't the only racist out there. If we as a black community, and I'm not necessarily just speaking to the black community. So let me just broaden it. If we as American citizens, diverse American citizens coming from all walks of life, all races, all creeds, all religions, if we are going to come together and call ourselves a country, then every racist, every, E-V-E-R-Y, every racist, from every race needs to check your shit at the door. I saw something that I absolutely thought was one of the dumbest things I've seen on the internet. And it's unfortunate where I saw it. It doesn't matter. I still have to work in this town, so I'm not going to say where I saw it. But I saw somewhere a person of color, not even going to say what nationality, but a person of color has a social media platform. And on this person of color's social media platform, they posted a video of some white chick sitting up saying, black people can't be racist. Oh my God. Black people can't be racist because, oh man, I probably should have remembered what she said, but she said something to the effect of black people don't have the power to be racist. What? Black people can't be true racist. Look, if a black person calls you a motherfucking honky, hey, I don't think he likes you. You know, if a black person is in a confrontation with a Hispanic person and they come off calling them a beaner or a fucking wetback or some shit like that, what are you supposed to say? Oh, well, that's not racist. That's not racist to say that. It's racist for a white person to call a black person a nigger. But it's not racist for a black person to call a Hispanic person a fucking wetback? Again, what fucking part of the game is that? See, you can't say, oh, well, you know, we're exempt from this. We're exempt from that. I don't even think black people should be using the N-word. That's just me personally. You want to talk about a slave fucking mentality? Oh, well, we turn that word into a term of endearment. Fuck you and your term of endearment. Call me brother. Call me friend. Call me homie. But that's a term of endearment for you? This is what I gotta say. Nigga, fuck you. That's how I feel. So if we're going to call for Donald Trump to be taken down because of his racism, then everybody needs to be taken down. And no, I'm not sitting here right now saying that it's an even playing field as far as like, so I am not saying that there is going to be racial equality and harmony if everybody stops doing what they're doing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you use racist tactics to try and call out a fucking racist, what the fuck are you? You know, it's like, and I have had conversations with people of color. Oh, well, it's okay for me to say this, but I wish a motherfucking white boy would. I wish a motherfucking white bitch would. What? So what you're telling me is simply and purely because of the color of a person's skin, that gives them just cause to say whatever they choose to another race that has completely done them wrong. How is that even a thing? I mean, am I just showing my age? Or is there a such thing as two fucking wrongs don't make a right? If this person called you a nigger, that doesn't mean turn right the fuck around and call him a honky, call him a wetback, call him whatever nationality or religion or sexual preference, whatever you can say in a demeaning racial way to another person. If they say something to you, you think that, oh, well, since you said it, I can say it too? No. I wish y'all could be with me. I swear, I wish y'all could be with me, because there's been more than one time where I've been called a nigger by a white person. And I sent that person away, pissed off, all to be damned. And I had other people around saying, I have never in life seen a situation like that handled in that way. Where you're the one that's supposed to be pissed off, but the agitator walks away pissed off. Why? It's very easy. Call me a nigger if you want to. I got a college degree. I have a job. Look up the word nigger. See what it means. Lazy, shiftless, ignorant, buffoon of a person. That's not me. Now, yes, I understand you're saying that because it's the racial slur, because I'm black. So I'm supposed to bow my chest up and I'm supposed to, what'd you say, white boy? No. For what? You're not that important. You're not that relevant. Why am I going to give your words power? And that's what a lot of people in every community do. Stop giving irrelevant, illegitimate people's words power. I don't give a flying floozy fuck who says what. What impact does that person have on your everyday life? There are people sitting in jails right now. Well, I ain't no punk. He wasn't going to talk to me that way. So I wet him up. I ain't no punk. I'm in here. Yeah, I'm in here for 6 months because I knocked him out because he said this, that, or the other. Okay, so your life isn't that important to you that you can spend 6 months to a year in jail for hitting somebody for saying some silly shit to you. That's where we're at now. Since when did the game change and you just listen to everything that everybody says? Since when did the game change to where if this person that has no relevancy in your life whatsoever is just hating on you to try and get a rise out of you, what part of the game does it say where you have to give in to that person, you have to let that person win, and you have to lose your fucking head? Forget the fact that you have a wife and kids at home. Forget the fact that you have a husband and kids at home. Forget the fact that you have parents that love you. Forget the fact that you have friends that will come to your aid at any time of the day. Forget all of that. You're going to let the irrelevant person say something to you to get yourself in trouble. But I ain't no punk. You see where he is now, right? He in a hospital. Yeah, motherfucker, he's in a hospital. Free as fuck. While you sitting up in a goddamn jail cell because you ain't no punk. The fuck out of my face with that. And I know I'm reaching the people that I need to be reaching right now. I know I'm reaching you. This shit has to stop. We all have to fucking live here. Racism and racist acts, just because it may have been started by one, doesn't fucking mean it needs to be carried on or ended by another. Just fucking stop. Now, do I really think because I'm on a level right now telling people to stop, do I really think racism is going to stop? No. Do I even really honestly think that I am going to make a noticeable difference? No. But I mean, look, hey, if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. can be standing on a balcony in Memphis, Tennessee, and get shot because he's doing what he's doing so many years ago, and it's 2018, and we still got the word nigger running around, we still have racism in this country, why would I really honestly think that what I have to say was any more important than what Dr. Martin Luther King had to say, what Sister Angela Davis had to say, what anybody had to say, what Mr. James Baldwin had to say, what Mr. Paul Lawrence Dunbar had to say, what shit, even going all the fuck way back to Kunta Kinte, going all the way back to Harriet Tubman. I read a quote and put it on my Instagram page. Harriet Tubman said, I saved thousands of slaves, or I freed thousands of slaves. I would have freed more if they knew they were slaves. And you stop and think about that shit, man. I would have freed thousands more if they would have known they were slaves. So I'm not standing on a soapbox. I'm just somebody that has a voice and that has a platform and that is sick and tired of it's almost like when I see certain stories come across the newswire, when I hear certain conversations, automatically I'm like, why the fuck is it that I'm the only person that it seems like sees just how ignorant this is? Like even taking it back to politics, even taking it back to all of this shit that you're hearing about in the news right now. If you are not intelligent enough to sit back and say, wait a minute, what are we being distracted from? We're talking about Michael Cohen. We're talking about Paul Manafort. When we are so close to getting some type of resolution, and look, President Trump can sit and say all he wants to. There was no Russian collusion. I knew back then, okay, so this is what I am going to say. I don't think Donald Trump knew names of Russian diplomats, Russian businessmen, Russian whoever. I don't think he knew names specifically of people that were trying to strong arm the election. But I do think he knew about it. It's kind of the same thing that I say about O.J. Simpson. I don't think O.J. Simpson is the one that jumped over that fence and was the one that committed those crimes. But do I think he knows who did it? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I feel the same way about this. Donald Trump may not have known the specific, okay, well, it was Igor, I don't know, fucking Russian last name, Igor, whatever the fuck. It was Natasha, whatever. Who the fuck cares? I don't think he knew to that extent. But to tell me he didn't know that such a, and I don't even think I'm using the word in the wrong, well, no, I can't use that word. I just don't think that he had knowledge of personal people that were doing, that were actually, now, do I think he met with people? Well, sure. It was already reported. There were a couple of Russian businessmen that nobody could explain how they got into the inauguration balls that they got into after President Trump was elected. You know, so that's a real thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it, because my show is almost over. So I can't really, to sum up everything that I have said today, I can't see how the whole country isn't to the point where we all collectively are saying, you know what, enough is a fucking enough. We voted for you, we were wrong, now you gotta go. I don't see how, I can't understand how that's not a thing other than understanding money makes the world go round in certain instances. Somebody could have a problem and they could come out against the president. And we have seen with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, that's when the money starts to flow. Okay, shut up. Shut up. You know, it could have been even possible had Stormy Daniels sold her story to a publication. That publication could have done what in the media world is known as catch and kill. What catch and kill is, it's when a media outlet will buy a story and then they bury it. That's catch and kill. So who's to say if Stormy Daniels, I mean, look, at the end of the day, she got her money. That's all, clearly, that's all she wanted. Now, how good, bad, or indifferent is that? Damn, my show is almost over. But how good, bad, or indifferent is that? That people are actually taking hush money. Because what does that do? When you take hush money, that hushes you up. You can't tell people what happened, which means the person that did whatever is going to continue to get away with it. Not a good idea. Not in 2018, and not in a country that I love, that I want to love, called the United States of America. I don't recognize this country anymore. I'm not even that fucking old. I don't recognize this country anymore. Do you know, I have, even me personally, which, sorry for them, but I have lost friends over politics. Or let me say that the truthful way. I have had people unfriend me. I have had people block me because of my views on politics. That's a sad fucking day when what's supposed to be uniting us is tearing us the fuck apart. All right, that's enough. Wow. Y'all just have to understand how pissed off it makes when this silly shit is going on and it's being taken so fucking seriously. Like, it's a real issue. So, put the motherfuckers in jail, get the man out of office. And again, I said it on this show before, I'll say it again. If the president of the United States is impeached, then I think his whole fucking administration needs to go. The whole fucking administration. When Bill Clinton was impeached, if he would have been impeached and asked to leave office, because see, what a lot of people don't understand is you can be impeached, but you can still stay in office. Bill Clinton was impeached, but he stayed in office. So, I'm not even going to make that point. It just really pisses me off. It does. But don't think that I'm saying the country is going to be in any better hands if fucking Pence takes over. No. And if he were to resign or something were to happen to him, then who's next? Paul Ryan. Really? Paul Ryan is the guy that when he was running for vice president with Mitt Romney, he was in a debate with Joe Biden, and he's talking about how he was born and raised overseas when the bastard was fucking born in Canada. He wasn't born overseas, but somebody with that type of mentality, yeah, you want them as president? Yeah. Tell me how that works out. All right. I'm over my time. Please follow me on my social media, J. Lewis Mills, at J. Lewis Mills. That's J-L-O-U-I-S-M-I-L-L-S. You can email me at jlewis.mills@outlook.com. I will be back next week. I look forward. I'm hoping I have the guest that I'm going to have next week. If I don't, we will definitely figure something out. Please take care of each other. Please take care of yourselves. Love yourselves. Love one another. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.